Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Grace Marie Turner is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Couldn't do without her. She's the president of the Galen Institute. She's one of the world's foremost authority on healthcare public policy. Quite often when the president is talking about healthcare and he's in those kind of venues, Grace Marie will not only be there, she'll be standing beside him or near him, and she has that kind of credibility, that kind of critical mass. And as you know, folks, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience, and that includes Grace Marie Turner. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
Morning. Happy Valentine's Day, Tim.
Happy Valentine's Day. Will you be my Valentine today?
I will. Will you be mine?
I sure will. That makes my day, Grace
Marie. And have all of our listeners be our Valentine, too.
Well, that might be too many. I'm not sure about all of those guys. I've seen a couple of those folks. I don't think I want all those guys. Grace Marie, the president. I heard his State of the Union speech a couple of weeks ago, and he must have made you very happy. And the reason I say that is because he made me very happy with some of the healthcare issues that he brought up. Tell us about those.
Well, he is really proposing a lot of important reforms that will supercharge health savings accounts and give a lot more people a lot more opportunity to purchase health insurance and to put away tax-free money to pay for their health care expenses. We're very, very excited, and Congress has received his proposals very well as well. I think we're likely to see action this year. I'd be surprised if we don't.
You know, one of his big initiatives that I certainly agree with him on, and that I actually predicted in the 20th century, I started talking about it before he did, and that is he called it the ownership society, and I called it the century of the entrepreneur. And when you and I first started visiting together, I started talking about the 21st century being the century of the entrepreneur, and every day that goes by, something happens that convinces me that it is going to be the century of the entrepreneur. And, of course, as you know, when I think of entrepreneurship, I think of ownership. And I think that some of these new healthcare initiatives, especially HSAs, health savings accounts, and now that they've been expanded to include the ability for employers to offer those and for the treatment of those from a tax standpoint to be more appropriate than they were, I think that's going to be one of the major stones in the foundation of the ownership society. What do you think?
Well, and one of the reasons too many people are trapped into jobs they don't like. They'd like to go start their own business. They'd like to go work for a friend or a relative who started their own business, but they can't leave because they can't leave their health insurance. And what the president is saying is health insurance needs to be portable. You need to own it the same way you own your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance.
That's right.
Or your renter's insurance. You don't want to be trapped in a job because of health insurance. You should own it, be able to take it with you, and you should be able to take it with you across state lines. You shouldn't be trapped into the health insurance system in the state you live in. And he's got a lot of proposals that encourage portability, more affordable health insurance, so people that purchase higher deductible health insurance can often find a better deal, and then to put some of those savings aside tax-free into a health savings account to save for routine health expenses either today or in the future. So he's giving people a way to create some wealth so they can take care of themselves with health insurance, giving them a chance to own that health insurance and be able to give them a chance to take that insurance with them from job to job, from state to state, from job to retirement.
Well, one of the things I guess it was about 2 years ago that the Medicare bill was passed that included HSAs. It modified medical savings accounts into HSAs. And a lot of people are critics of the Medicare bill, saying it's too expensive, and they very well may be true. Maybe they may be right about that. But one thing, Grace Marie, that people on both sides of the aisle seem to be agreeing on more and more is that one of the benefits, one of the high spots, one of the real bright spots of that Medicare bill, maybe even ultimately, I think one day, a justification for the whole thing that came out of all that was HSAs.
I could not agree with you more, and several members of Congress have said that they think health savings accounts will be one of the most important things that Congress has passed in the last couple of Congresses, and I think that's right.
I think it could be the most important thing in maybe 60 years, and I mean that. I mean since Social Security.
It's transformative.
Since Social Security. I don't think there's any question about that. This is something that is it's a sea change. It's a paradigm shift. When we come back, though, there's some obstacles to making this really work like it should, and we're going to get Grace Marie to help us understand what those are so we can get them changed. It involves taxes. 20 Tales, stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Mark Knopfler on guitar. Dire Straits. Sultans of Swing. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's the president of the Galen Institute. And we're talking about health savings accounts and other healthcare innovations and reform that's happening right now in front of our very eyes. And Grace Marie, I want to get into the tax issue in a minute, the illogical and the inequitable tax structure that we have right now regarding the way individuals and small businesses deal with providing health care for their employees and for themselves. But before we do that, it might be a good idea to take a minute. And in case there's somebody out there who still doesn't know what an HSA is, a health savings account, would you give us that little tour?
Sure, and it's health savings accounts are not rocket science, but basically it's a new kind of a savings account where people can put money aside tax-free, sort of like an IRA.
It's very much like an IRA, isn't it?
Well, except that it has an extra advantage. You can put the money in tax-free. The inside buildup is tax-free. You never pay. You never have to pay taxes on the.
That's just like an IRA.
And it's tax-free when it comes out as long as you spend it on health care.
And that's what's different about it.
That's what's different. With an IRA, you pay taxes one end or the other, either going in or coming out.
Right.
Here, it flows through completely tax-free. There's nothing else like it in 47,000 pages of IRS code.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and the financial services community has gotten very excited about this. And individuals can open an HSA, employers can open it for you, you can open it as an employee. It's open to anybody under age 65 as long as you also buy a high-deductible health insurance policy. I think, basically, HSAs are a kind of a bribe to get people to buy health insurance. If you buy the health insurance, then you can put this money, or your employer can put money
right.
into these accounts for you tax-free. It's a very good deal. People are very excited about them.
It's a two-pronged approach, folks. One side of the house is the money that you set aside, $1,000 a year, up to maybe $5,000, maybe $5,300 a year, depending on your marital situation.
Families can put aside more. That's
right. That you can put aside in a savings account, tax free, as Grace Marie said. But then on the other side of the issue, you then buy a high deductible, and you get to decide: is it $1,000 a year? Is it $5,000 a year? You get to buy a deductible policy that works in concert with your savings account, but you can still decide to pay the $1,000 out of your current income if you have it, and not take any money out of your savings account that you set aside for that to let it accumulate. So if you're having a good year and you can afford it, you just pay for the deductible, your sort of your little self insurance part, the $1,000 a year or whatever, you pay that this year out of your own income. Or if you're not having a good year, you can go get the money out of your savings account and apply it to your health care issues. But the main thing is that you become, in doing this, Grace Marie, and this is one of the little sleeper benefits you and I have talked about, in doing this, your mind is in a different place than when you're in the patriarchal system that we had in the 20th century, and still some people still have, where you believe that somebody else should pay for your health care and you shouldn't pay for it. You're becoming more of a health care consumer instead of just a health care patient, Grace Marie.
Exactly right. And that money, you own that money. It stays with you for good. You take it into retirement. It can pay for things that Medicare doesn't pay for, pay your Medicare premiums, and it becomes part of your estate when you die. And people need to also know that this is, a lot of people say, oh, I've got a health savings account. I've had it for a long time. Well, those are flexible spending accounts that you mm-hmm. can put money aside tax-free, but if you don't spend it by the end of the year, you lose it. Health savings account, you keep it for good.
It's your property.
Right.
It's your asset.
And you can pay premiums. If you lose your job or you want to start a new job, you can use your health savings account to pay for premiums to tide you over until your business gets
now,
started.
Now, see, I didn't know that.
If you're unemployed and out of work, you mm-hmm. can use the money in your health savings account to pay for premiums. President, with his new proposals, which Congress is considering, wants to allow you to be able to pay your premiums anytime you want to out of your mm-hmm. health savings account. Hmm. And also to be able to deduct the cost of health insurance for anybody that wants to buy their own policy outside the workplace. Then they don't have to be technically self-employed to do that. So some of these proposals do exactly what you say, Jim. They give people a lot more authority mm-hmm. to have a say over not only what health insurance they have, but how much they want to spend for that health insurance. Can they afford the higher deductible? Can they afford to take that
right.
risk so that they can have a lower premium? They want to put the money aside tax-free. It's very empowering to give people a control over their health care.
HSAs are the anti-universal health care product. They're
and
the anti-universal health care product.
That's a lot of liberals very worried.
Yeah, well, it is. It does. But there are some structures, there's some tax structures, Grace Marie, that inhibit the flourishing of HSAs, right? Because we still have a 20th century tax code, don't we?
Well, they do, but this really kind of goes around that. A lot of people who currently have job-based health insurance have no idea how much their employer is spending on their health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
These let you have be in charge.
You have control. Stand by, Jake Grace Marie. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about this tax issue and some things that have to be changed in order for these things to really flourish. And there's some other issues on the horizon that you and me both to get involved in. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
The Godfather.
But that new breed,
James Brown.
Ain't no drag.
One of a kind.
Papa's got a brand new.
Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's one of a kind, too. We couldn't do without her. She's the president of the Galen Institute. Grace Marie, tell us about the Galen Institute.
We're a nonprofit research organization, and we focus on free market health reform, do everything we can to get people to see the wisdom of giving people more control over their futures and the way they make their health insurance arrangements.
And folks can find out more about you, and including your book on health care that you've edited on empowering consumers to through tax reform. They can find that at your website at galen.org, right?
That's right. Galen.
And they can join your organization there too, can't they? They can support
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. We do great conference calls and conferences, and people can be a big part of our conversation.
And I get email from you guys all the time keeping me updated on how things are going, and I appreciate that very much.
Great. Thank you.
Because of my association with you guys. And folks, you can get the same thing, and I encourage you to do that. Grace Marie, there's the HSAs democratizes health care. Whereas the old patriarchal system that we had with you go to work for a company and they got all the tax benefits and you just got the benefit of the health care, which we now know doesn't work in the 21st century. Look at GM, look at Ford, look at what's happening in Europe. That doesn't work anymore. And so HSAs goes around that whole system and democratizes healthcare, doesn't it?
That's a wonderful way of putting it, and it really is. It's so much part of a 21st century information economy, and yet there are moves afoot to put us under in the same kind of straitjacket that Europe is in with healthcare that is run by the government.
Anytime you hear someone talking against democratizing our healthcare system and making it market-based and giving the freedom of choice and the ability to acquire an asset when you have coverage for healthcare but you don't use it, instead of the insurance company getting all that benefit when you don't use it, you get that benefit. You not only can keep it and use it to your own advantage, but you can bequeath it to your children. Anytime people are speaking against that, folks, you're looking at a dinosaur. You're talking to a person who's about to become extinct, at least their way of thinking, and they're fighting they're hanging on to the old ways tooth and nail, and they won't prevail. I mean, the 21st century is different from the 20th century, and Grace Marie, every small business owner knows that if they're still practicing healthcare, if they're still practicing their business model in 2006, exactly the way they practice it in 1996, every one of them knows that they're headed for failure. And our healthcare system is no different, is it?
You said exactly. Sometimes it takes somebody outside the healthcare system to really say it exactly right, and that's so true.
Well, there's another bill, though, that I want you to remind us about. I think you may have mentioned it before, but I want you to remind us about it. This is Congressman Shattuck's bill, and this is allowing individuals to buy health insurance across state lines, right?
That's right. Some states have so many mandates and regulations on their health insurance that it's just ridiculously expensive for small businesses that can't afford to self-insure, to go through all the rigmarole and paperwork. And so they're faced with, in Maryland, 40 different mandates that every single one of them drives up the cost of health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill would say, you know, you don't want to buy health insurance in Maryland, you can buy it in Pennsylvania.
A mandate would be you must provide psychiatry, you must provide podiatry, or something like that.
You must provide intro vitro.
And so you've got fewer choices.
You have fewer choices, and you're paying a little bit extra for every single one of those mm-hmm. services so that everybody is paying a little bit in to use them. Every single one of them can be justified on its own, but oftentimes it's like the state saying, you can't buy a car unless you buy a fully loaded Lexus. And people
right.
say, I can't afford that.
That's
and they
right.
say, too bad, you have to go without health insurance.
So we need these people to be able to buy across state lines so they can buy what they want. Now, will being able to buy individual plans across state lines, will that be the forerunner to association health plans?
Well, they may actually come in tandem, because people not only need to be able to buy health insurance from one state to another, but they need to be able to aggregate into groups
right.
that may be more stable in their lives and their jobs, their churches, their civic groups, their professional associations, to be able to buy group health insurance that they can take with them not only, again, from job to job, but state to state, and keep it for a long time.
Folks, you just heard the wisdom and the logic of the 21st century. When you hear Ted Kennedy talking about health care, he's 20th century. He's a dinosaur. He's not going to be around for very long, at least not his way of thinking. Grace Marie, she's going to be here for a long time. Thanks, Grace Marie, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be too, but it's going to be tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.